The Wonderful Wizard of Oz by L. Frank Baum. Chapter 7, The Journey to the Great Oz. They were obliged to camp out that night under a large tree in the forest, for there were no houses near. The tree made a good thick covering to protect them from the dew, and a tin woodman chopped a great pile of wood with his axe. Dorothy built a splendid fire that warmed her and made her feel less lonely. She and Toto ate the last of their bread. Now she did not know what they would do for breakfast. "If you wish," said the lion, "I'll go into the forest and kill a deer for you, and I can roast it by the fire. Since your tastes are so peculiar, you prefer cooked food, and then when you have a good, very good breakfast." "Don't, please don't," begged the tin woodman. I should certainly weep. You killed a poor deer, and when my jaws would rust again." The lion went away into the forest, found his own supper. No one ever knew what it was, for he didn't mention it. Scarecrow found a tree full of nuts and filled Dorothy's basket with them, so she would not be hungry for a long time. She thought this was very kind and thoughtful of Scarecrow, but he laughed heartily the awkward way in which the poor creature picked up the nuts. His padded hands, so clumsy, nuts were so small, he dropped almost as many as he put in the basket. The Scarecrow did not mind how long it took him to fill the basket, for it enabled him to keep away from the fire, as he feared a spark might get into his straw and burn him up. As he kept a good distance away from the flames, and only came near to cover Dorothy with dry leaves when she lay down to sleep, these kept her very snug and warm. She slept soundly till morning. When it was daylight, the girl bathed her face in a little rippling brook, and soon after they started toward the Emerald City. This was to be an eventful day for the travellers. They had hardly been walking an hour. They saw before them a great ditch. It crossed the road, divided the forest, far as they could see on either side. A very wide ditch. When they crept up to the edge, they looked into it. They could see it was also very deep, with mainly big, jagged rocks at the bottom. The sides were so steep that none of them could climb down. For a moment, it seemed their journey must end. "What would we do?" asked Dorothy desperately. "I haven't the faintest idea," said the tin man woodman. And the lion shook his shaggy mane and looked thoughtful. But Scarecrow said, "We cannot fly, that's certain. Neither can we climb down into the great ditch. Therefore, if we cannot jump over it, we must stop where we are." "I think I could jump over it," said the Cowardly Lion, about after measuring the distance carefully in mind. "Then we're all right," answered the Scarecrow. "Well, you can carry us all over on your back one at a time." "Well, I'll try it," said the lion. "Who will go first?" "I will," declared the Scarecrow, "for you found he could not jump after the gulf. Dorothy would be killed, the tin woodman, but he dented in the rocks below. If I am on your back, it would not matter so much. The fall would not hurt me at all." "I'm terribly afraid of falling myself," said the Cowardly Lion, "but suppose there is nothing to do but try it. So get on my back and we'll make the attempt." Scarecrow sat upon the lion's back. Big beast walked to the edge of the little gulf and crouched down. "Why don't you run and jump?" asked the Scarecrow. "Because that isn't the way we lions do these things," he replied. And giving a great spring, he shot through the air and safely on the other side. They were all greatly pleased to see how easily he did it. As the Scarecrow got down from his back, lion sprang across the ditch again. Dorothy thought she'd go next. So she took Toto in her arms and jumped on the lion's back, holding tightly to his mane in one hand. Next moment, it seemed as if she was flying through the air. Then, before she had time to think about it, she was safe on the other side. Lion went back for the third time, got the tin woodman. Then they all sat down for a few moments to give the beast a chance to rest, for his great leaps made his breath short. He panted like a big dog, been running too long. He found the forest very thick on this side. It looked dark and gloomy. of the line and rested, they started along the road of the yellow brick, silently wondering, each in his own mind, if ever they would come to the end of the woods, reach the bright sunshine again. To add to their discomfort, they heard strange noises in the depths of the forest. The lion whispered to them, "Is where this was a part of the country where the Kalids lived." "What are the Kalids?" asked the girl. "They're monstrous beasts with bodies like bears and heads like tigers," replied the lion. "Their claws are long and sharp. They could tear me in two as easy as I could kill Toto. I'm terribly afraid of the Kalids." "I'm not surprised you are," returned Dorothy. "They must be dreadful beasts." Lion was about to reply when suddenly came to another gulf across the road. This one was so broad and deep that the lion knew at once he could not leap across it. So he sat down to consider what they should do. Of a serious thought, the scarecrow said, "Here is a great tree standing close to the ditch. The Tin Woodman could chop it down so that it will all fall to the other side. We can walk across it easily." "That is the first right idea," said the lion. "One would almost suspect you had brains in the head instead of straw." The woodman set to work at once, and so sharp was his axe that the tree was soon chopped nearly through. The lion put his strong front legs against the tree and pushed it with all his might, so the big tree tipped and fell with a crash across the ditch, with top branches on the other side. They just started to cross this queer bridge. The sharp ground made them all look up to the hurry, so running back towards them two giant beasts, their bodies like bears and heads like tigers. "They're the colour beds," said the Cowardly Lion, beginning to tremble. "Quick," cried the Scarecrow, "let us cross over." The Dorothy went first, holding Toto in her arms. The Tin Woodman followed, and the Scarecrow came next. Lion, although he's almost certainly afraid, came face to face with Calypso. He gave so loud and terrible roar that Dorothy screamed and the Scarecrow fell over backward, while even the fierce animals stopped short, looked at him in surprise. Seeing they were bigger than a lion, they and remembering there were two of them and only one of him, the Calypso again rushed forward. Lion crossed over the tree and turned to see what they would do next. Without stopping an instant, fierce beasts also began to cross the tree. A lion said to Dorothy, "We are lost. Will they surely tear us to pieces with their sharp claws? I stand close behind me. I fight them as long as I can them alive." "Wait a minute," called the Scarecrow. He had been thinking what was the best to be done. Now he asked the woodman to chop away the end of the tree that rested on their side of the ditch. The Tin Woodman began to use his axe at once. Just as the Kalids were nearly across the tree, fell, crashed into the gulf, carrying an ugly, sounding brutes with it, and both were dashed to pieces on sharp rocks at the bottom. "Well," said the Cowardly Lion, drawing a long breath of relief, "I see we're going to live a long, little longer. I'm glad of it, for it must be a most uncomfortable thing not to be alive. Creatures running me so badly, my heart is beating yet." "Oh," said the Tin Woodman sadly, "I wish I had a heart to beat." It made the travellers more anxious than ever to get out of the forest. They tried walked so fast that Dorothy came tired. Had to ride on lion's back. To their great joy, the tree became thinner and further they advanced. In the afternoon, they suddenly came upon a broad river flowing swiftly just before them. On the other side of the water, they could see the road of bread of brick running through beautiful country, green meadows dotted with bright flowers, all the road bordered with trees hanging full of beautiful, delicious fruits. They were greatly pleased to see this delightful country before them. How should we cross the river?" asked Dorothy. "That is easily done," replied the Scarecrow. "The Tin Woodman must build us a raft so we can float to the other side." So the woodman took his axe and began to chop down several trees and grass. Well, busy at this, Scarecrow found on the river bank a tree full of fine fruit. Pleased Dorothy, who hadn't eaten anything but nuts all day, and made a healthy meal of ripe fruit. It only takes time to make a raft, even when one is as industrious and untiring as Tin Woodman. Then, and when night came, Work was not done. They found a cozy place in the trees where they slept well till the morning, and Dorothy dreamt of Emerald City and the good Wizard of Oz, who would soon send her back to home again. Chapter 8, The Deadly Poppy Field. A little party of travellers awakened the next morning, refreshed and full of hope. Dorothy breakfasted like a princess of peaches and plums of the trees beside the river. Behind them was a dark forest they had passed safely through, although they had suffered many discouragements. Before them was a lovely country, sunny country, that seemed to beckon them on to the Emerald City. Be sure the broad river now cut them off from this beautiful land, but the raft was nearly done, and after Tidman, Woodman had cut a few more logs and fastened them together with wooden pins, and ready to start, Dorothy sat down in the middle raft, held Toto into her arms. The Kelly Lion stepped upon the raft. It tipped badly, for he was big and heavy. The Scarecrow and Tin Woodman sat down the other end to steady it. They had long poles in their hands to push this raft through the water. They got quite well at first, but when they reached the middle of the river, the swift current swept the raft downstream further and further away from the road. In a brick, the water grew so deep, long poles could not touch the bottom. "This is bad," said the Tin Woodman, "for if we cannot get to land, we shall be carried into the country, the Wicked Witch of the West, and she will chant us, make us her slaves."
"And then I shall get no brains," said the Scarecrow. "I shall get no courage," said the Cowardly Lion.
"I shall get no heart," said the Tin Woodman.
"I shall never get back to Kansas," said Dorothy.
"We must certainly get to the Emerald City if we can," Scarecrow continued.
He pushed so hard his long pole, it stuck fast in the mud at the bottom of the river.
And before he could pull it out again or let go, the raft was swept away. Poor Scarecrow was left clinging to the pole in the middle of the river.
"Goodbye," he called after them.
They were very sorry to leave him. Indeed, and Tin Woodman began to cry, but fortunately remembered he might rust and so dried his tears on Dorothy's apron.
"Of course, this is a bad thing for Scarecrow. I am now worse off than when we first met Dorothy," he thought. "Then I was stuck on a pole, cornfield. I could make believe scare the crows at any rate. But surely there is no use for Scarecrow stuck on a pole in the middle of the river. I'm afraid he shall never have any brains after all." Downstream, the raft floated, and poor Scarecrow was left behind, far behind. Then a lion said, "Something must be done to save us. I think I can swim to the shore. Pull the raft after me. If you only hold fast the tip of my tail." Sprang into water, and Tin Woodman caught fast hold of his tail. The lion began to swim with all his might towards the shore. It was hard work, although he was so big. But by and by, it was drawn out of the current, and then Dorothy took the Tin Woodman on pole, helped push the raft to the land. They all tired out when he reached the shore at last and stepped off upon the pretty green grass. Also knew the stream had carried them a long way past the road of yellow brick and led to the Emerald City.
"What should we do now?" asked the Tin Woodman.
The lion lay down the grass to get the sun. Let the sun dry him.
"You must get back to the road in some way," said Dorothy.
"The best plan will be walk along the riverbank till we come to the road again," remarked the lion. So when they all were rested, Dorothy picked up a basket and they started along the grassy banks of the road from which the river had carried them. It's a lovely country, with plenty of flowers and fruit trees and sunshine to cheer them. Had they not felt so sorry for the poor Scarecrow, they could have been very happy. They walked along as fast as they could, Dorothy only stopping once to pick a beautiful flower. And after a time, Tidman Woodman cried about look. Then they all looked at the river and saw the Tip Scarecrow perched upon his pole, middle of water, looking very lonely and sad.
"What can we do to save him?" asked Dorothy.
Lion and Woodman both shook their heads, for they did not know. So they sat down upon the bank and gazed beautifully. Scarecrow, too, a stalk flew by. Upon seeing them, stopped to rest at the water's edge.
Who are you and where are you going? Asked the stork.
I'm Dorothy, answered the girl. These are my friends, the Tin Woodman, Cowardly Lion. We're going to Emerald City.
Is it the road? Said the stork. He twisted a long neck and looked sharply at the queer party.
I know it, said turned Dorothy. We have lost the scarecrow. We're wondering how we should get him back again.
Where is he? Asked the stork.
Over there in the river, answered the little girl.
If he weren't so big and heavy, I'd get him for you, remarked the stork.
He isn't heavy a bit, said Dorothy eagerly, for he's stuffed with straw. If you bring him back to us, we shall thank you ever and ever so much.
Well, I'll try, said stork, but I find he's too heavy to carry. Shall have to drop him in the river again.
So Big Bird flew into the air and over the water until she came to where the scarecrow was perched upon the pole. Then the stork with her great claws grabbed the scarecrow by the arm and carried him up in the air and back into the bank. The Dorothy and the lion and the Tin Woodman and Toto were sitting. Scarecrow found himself among his friends again. So happy he hugged them all, even the lion and Toto. As he walked along, he sang doo-doo-doo-doo. At every step, he felt so gay.
Afraid I should have to stay in the river forever, he said. But a flying stork saved me. If ever I had got any brains, a flying stork again, do some kindness in return.
That's all right, said the stork, who was flying along beside him. I always like to help anyone in trouble. But I must go now, for my babies are waiting in the nest for me. Hope you will find Emerald City, and that Oz will help you.
Thank you, replied Dorothy. And then the kind stork flew into the air and was out of the sight.
He walked along, listening to the singing of the brightly coloured birds, looking at the lovely flowers, which had now become so thick and ground was covered with them. Their big yellow, white, blue and purple blossoms, besides great clusters of scarlet poppies, which were so brilliant in colour, they almost dazzled Dorothy's eyes.
Aren't they beautiful? The girl asked, as she breathed in Circe's scent, bright flowers.
Suppose so, answered the scarecrow, for when I have brains, I probably like them better.
If only I had a heart, I could love them, replied, added Tin Woodman.
I always did like flowers, said the lion.
They're so helpless and frail.
There are none of them in the forest as bright as these.
They now came upon more and more of the big scarlet poppies, fewer and fewer the other flowers, and soon they found themselves amidst the great meadow poppies. Now it's well known that we are many leaves and flowers together, but it is so powerful that anyone who breathes in it falls asleep, but leaving not carried away for the scent of flowers, sleeps on and on forever. But Dorothy did not know this, nor could she get away from the bright red flowers were everywhere about. So presently her eyes grew heavy. She felt she must sit down, rest and sleep. The Tin Woodman would not let her do this.
You must hurry and get back to the road of the yellow brick before dark, he said.
Gregor agreed with him. So they kept walking till Dorothy could stand no longer. Her eyes closed in spite of herself. She got where she was, fell among the puppies, fell asleep.
What should we do? Asked the Tin Woodman.
If we leave her here, she'll die, said the lion. The spell of the flowers is killing us all. I myself can scarcely get my eyes open.
The dog is almost asleep already, it's true. Toad had fallen down beside his little mistress.
The scarecrow and the Tin Woodman were not made of flesh, were not troubled by the scent of the flowers.
Run fast, said the scarecrow to the lion,
and get out of this deadly flower bed as soon as you can. We'll bring the little girl with us, but if you should fall asleep, you're too big to be carried.
The lion aroused himself and bound forward as fast as he could go. In a moment he was out of sight.
Let's make a chair with our hands and carry her, the scarecrow. So he picked her up, Toto, put the dog in Dorothy's lap. When they made a chair with their hands for a seat, and they did arms for their arms and carried the sleeping girl to walk between them through the flowers. On and on they walked. It seemed that the great carpet, deadly flowers that surrounded them would never end. They followed the bend of the river, at last came upon their friend, a lion fast asleep among the poppies, for it had been too strong for the huge beast, given up at the last, and fallen only a short distance at the end of the poppy bed, where the sweet grass spread in beautiful green field before them. We can do nothing for him, said Tim Woodman, sadly, for he is such too heavy to lift. We must leave him here to sleep on forever. Perhaps you dream that we found courage at last. I'm sorry, said Crowman. Scarecrow. The lion was a very good comrade for one, Sir Kelly, but let us go on. They carried the sleeping girl to a poddy spot beside the river, far enough from the poppy field, prevent from breathing any more poison the flowers. Here they laid her gently on the soft grass and waited for the fresh breeze to waken her.